is the Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 888-941-PAGS. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Hey, great radio stations across the land. JoePags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email. All of that and more right there. It's the Joe Pags Show, coming your way on a Tuesday.
All aboard!
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
I.
Carrie, what up?
Hey, how's it going?
We're getting it done. If you can, get me those results ready. It's been a week now, so clearly we'll have answers about who won in Florida and in Georgia. So just get that ready if you can. Gather that like you will.
All right, I'll gather it.
We'll talk about that. If you can, gather, please.
Okay.
Why won't you gather for the people?
I can't. I'm not done yet.
Oh, yeah, we're crazy training it. Uh-huh. Great to have you on wonderful radio stations. Again, the live video feed is at joepags.com. Just click on the play button, and it's right there. Made it easy for you. The box is the first thing up. You'd be able to keep complaining. You can shut your faces. How about that? How about that, Carrie?
Wow. I'm feeling rude.
You can shut the face.
Okay.
Yeah. So, we've got that going. If you can, just give me the final vote count. Clearly, Broward and Palm Beach County got it right now.
No, I cannot give you that vote count. I do not have it. They are
still Why don't you do the journalism? Like the
I am
want.
Doing the journalism. No results yet. Still counting.
No results yet a week later.
Correct.
Any more provisional ballots found?
Not that I know.
Because God knows
of.
There are provisional ballots just floating around everywhere.
I know.
It's nothing but provisional ballots.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's nuts. This is what they do, and they think if they elongate it enough, they'll somehow find enough votes to get a win. Mm. And again, we still to this date cannot get an answer to a simple question of how many votes you got left to count. Carrie, at least give us that answer. How many votes do they have left to count in Broward?
I don't know. I don't think
Why
they
won't
know.
You do journalism?
I am doing the journalism.
Dude,
I'm telling
journalism.
You, the journalism is, they don't know. How am I supposed
it is,
to know?
It's frustrating as can be. There is an attempt, I believe, to steal an election. There is absolutely no excuse for why there would be so many provisional ballots. It's supposed to be a very rare thing when somebody can't necessarily prove who they are because it doesn't match either the signature or the registration name or whatever. The provisional ballots are for that purpose alone. There are boxes marked provisional ballots found in trunks of cars and everything else. So this is actually making us look foolish. This makes us look like a bunch of idiots. And, I heard something yesterday, and we had a million calls from Arizona. We love you, Arizona. And hopefully we'll be able to continue in Arizona. I know that there was a sale and an ownership change, and I believe a Christian broadcaster will be taking the station over, so I don't know what the story is about us continuing, but make sure you tell every station in that market you need the Joe Pags Show. But we had a million people calling from Tucson at the end of the show yesterday who wanted to talk about McSally and Cinema. And as I was reading more about it last night, and Carrie, tell me if you've heard any of this, or I hadn't heard this before, but I don't pay much attention to other talk shows. But from what I understand, I guess Mark Levin asked her to come on the show, and they said no. And the report that I saw was that McSally didn't want to be seen as that hardline conservative. Now, this is Twitter stuff.
I don't know.
There was a news story attached to it, so that's why I don't have a problem repeating it. But let me connect with Sam, because I'm pretty sure that we reached out to McSally, too, and didn't hear much of a response. Hold on. Sam, you aren't connected, so you don't hear what I was talking about, but did we reach out to McSally in Arizona? I thought we did, right?
Yes, we definitely did.
And did we just never hear back? Why didn't she come on this show?
Yeah, we never heard back.
See, Carrie, there's something hinky going on there. Why wouldn't somebody who's a Republican nominee... Look, it's the one thing you can't really do is run moderate, and maybe McSally thought, well, I'm going to run moderate because John McCain was a moderate, Jeff Flake is a moderate. Maybe that's the way to go. But man, did she fail badly. And now you've got somebody who thinks that Arizonans are meth addicts, or there are meth addicts or whatever, wins instead of McSally winning. And here's the thing. Do yourself a favor If you're going to run for election and you're going to claim to be a conservative or a Republican, really embrace conservatives and Republicans. Don't run middle of the road because the far left will overrun you. And that's exactly what we just saw. So we left a lot of people hanging yesterday. I'm not going to take a ton of calls on that. But as I find out more information about how McSally, I guess, and we're live right now in Tucson, McSally, I guess, was rejecting conservative media or wasn't responding to conservative media like our show and other shows, that's a big deal. That matters a lot. It's 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. I definitely want to hear from you. Also, there's a big, Twitter storm or whatever over First Lady Melania Trump saying that some NSA aide has no business working at the White House anymore. And what's interesting as far as that story, and Carrie, do me a favor, grab that story. I think you already got it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll have that in a second. What's interesting about that is the media is freaking out. In an unprecedented move, the First Lady, in a surprise move, in a crazy move. As I click on Melania Trump on the Twitters, in a stunning move, says CNN. Then Jake Tapper, who works for CNN, in a stunning move. First Lady Melania Trump's office calls for the firing of a White House national security official. NBC News, an extraordinary statement from the office of the First Lady. Huffington Post, the remark is uncharacteristically harsh for the First Lady. These headlines are all stupid. None of these people yesterday said a damn word about the former First Lady of the United States being such a racist. And when I say that about Michelle Obama, I'm not throwing out just some words. Michelle Obama, in her interview with Robin Roberts, actually said she was skeptical of Barack Obama because all these white people liked him so much. That is racist! Period. End of story. I mean, her whole thesis in college was racist against white people, and why would black people ever want to get along with white people? This is who she is. It's who the family is. That's uncharacteristic for a first lady. That's startling and stunning. Now, Carrie will have the full story for you in a second. But it seems the current first lady has a problem because this woman was very nasty and very mean to people. That's allegedly what's going on. And she has every right to have an opinion about whether somebody should be fired or not. There's also noise about General Kelly possibly on his way out. He's not out at this point. I don't know what the story is there. But we're certainly keeping an eye on it. So a few things right off the top here. By the way, I'm going to have Dinesh D'Souza, bottom of next hour, on the election, on what's happening in Broward County and Palm Beach County, on what we're seeing as far as the socialists doing so well in elections now, which is nuts to me, and much more. Then, in hour three, Carrie, we're going to have Peggy and Mike Rowe.
Okay.
Peggy is Mike's mom. She wrote a book. And Mike Rowe did the interview with her, and it's called About My Mother, and it's not about her. It's about her mother's mother or his mother's mother. And it's just a great time hanging out with these people, not being all political, not, you know, having the big vein in my forehead pop out because I'm all, you know, filled with frustration and angst. It's just a fun conversation about a new book, aboutmymotherbook.com. Go there. You can get the book. I guess for a day at least, she was beating up Woodward's book about Trump in the White House.
Wow, okay, that's impressive.
So people, I think, do want an escape, so we will escape as well. All right, so what the hell's the matter with you, Arizona? We do that one when it comes to McSally versus Sinema. Did McSally completely shoot herself in the foot by not going on conservative media? Is that why she lost? Will she be appointed by the governor? Look, if you're in Arizona, do you want her appointed by the governor if she made a mistake that catastrophic, that she didn't take advantage of media outlets like this show to get her word out? We got that for you, which is interesting. Plus, Carrie has this about the First Lady. Fill us in on this very strange story.
From Fox News, the office of First Lady Melania Trump said Tuesday Deputy National Security Advisor Mira Ricardel should be dismissed from her post. An extraordinary call that came as President Trump considers further shakeups to his cabinet after the departure of Jeff Sessions as Attorney General. It is the position of the office of the First Lady that Ricardel no longer deserves the honor of serving in this White House. Stephanie Grisham, Melania Trump's communications director, said in a statement. The Wall Street Journal reported Tuesday Ricardel had clashed with Melania Trump's staff over seating arrangements on a plane during the First Lady's trip to Africa last month. And the paper adding the First Lady's office suspects Ricardel of leaking negative stories about the First Lady and her staff. And the Journal also reported Ricardel has sparred with Defense Secretary Jim Mattis over policy differences and staffing decisions. The Washington Post, citing three current and two former White House officials, reported that Ricardel had berated people in meetings and spread rumors about Mattis. The paper also reported that White House Chief of Staff John Kelly has sought Ricardel's ouster for months. Ricardel, 58, assumed the post of Deputy National Security Advisor in May, 1 month after Trump appointed John Bolton as National Security Advisor to replace Henry McMaster. She attended a White House ceremony Tuesday with Trump celebrating Diwali, the Hindu festival of lights. Melania Trump traveled to Ghana, Mali, Kenya, and Egypt last month. During the trip, she told ABC News there are people in the White House whom she and the president cannot trust. She declined to name anyone, but said she had let the president know who they are. Well, she said some people, they don't work there anymore. Asked if some untrustworthy people still worked in the White House, she replied yes. Now, the furor over Ricardel comes as Trump is considering changes to his cabinet that could include the departures of Kelly, Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen, and Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross, among others. The Journal reported Tuesday Trump has resigned to the possibility of Kelly leaving the White House if Nielsen is asked to resign. A leading candidate to replace Kelly if he goes is Nick Ayers, the chief of staff for Vice President Mike Pence.
There you go. Lots going on in the White House. Of course, the left is loving this. Oh, I can't believe the shakeup, which, of course, happens in every White House. And the economy is still booming. The agenda has been extremely successful. As the left talks about Donald Trump's tax returns and investigating this, that, and the other, and asking for all sorts of documents and investigations and whatever. I mean, it's going to be 2 years of do-nothing House of Representatives as they just sit there and paddle in the water. As far as a shakeup goes, if Melania Trump, if the First Lady, I don't care who it is, Michelle Obama, Laura Bush, doesn't matter. If the First Lady sees somebody act in a manner that is untoward to other people, she has every right to say that she has a problem with it. She has every right to say, I don't think this person should work here anymore. Now, she's got the ear of the president, obviously, but the president doesn't have to do it. The president can make his own decisions. So a few questions right off the top here, just top of mind stuff. Should McSally have embraced conservatism more, embraced the president more, this agenda, embraced conservative media more? Would that have made a difference? If you're in Arizona, are you one of the people that voted yes for the governor and no for McSally, or you said yes to the governor and yes to Sinema? I'd like to know why. I don't think it's a tough question. If you did that, I'd like to know. About 200,000 people allegedly did that, voted yes for the Republican governor and no for the Republican senator. I don't understand. So I'd like to know about that. And does the First Lady have the right to say, I don't think this person should work here anymore because of cause? Or is that somehow outlandish? 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, joepags.com. We're coming right back. Stay here.
Joe Pags.
Great to have you. Welcome. It is the Joe Pags Show. 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, along with Carrie Lockey, Sam Pags, and my man Polo is technical directing and giving me a hard time as usual. So, McSally, did she need to talk to Ward? I just got MZ just wrote me. Yeah, needed to have Ward on board. We like Dr. Ward a lot. I know that President Trump liked her as well. She didn't win the primary. So does McSally think I've got to go a different direction because, Ward was embraced by conservatives? Do I need to avoid conservatism? I mean, at the end of the day, I'm guessing a lot of conservatives didn't vote for her. And I'm wondering why. I'm getting some calls from Arizona now. Love to hear from more of you. And don't Republicans have to make a choice? I mean, the farther left or the further left the Democrats go, the more votes they get. So maybe it's time to go even farther right or further right. Maybe it is. I don't know. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Again, next hour, it's going to be Dinesh D'Souza. The following hour, it'll be Mike Rowe and his mother, Peggy, on her book, About My Mother. So make sure you stick around for that. Let me go to the phone lines, 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Let's go to Arizona. It's where Matt is. Matt, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going, Joe?
Living the dream, Matt. Talk to me.
Well, being from Tucson, and in Tucson, we're mostly, in Pima County, is mostly all blue. I voted for McSally and the Governor Ducey, but I don't think McSally got, I don't think she debated at all that I can remember, and I don't think she really got her message out to everybody. I think she was probably banking on just the fact that normally we vote Republican as a state overall, and I don't think she really, I don't really think she went after it as hard as she should have, and she could have won.
Well, I'll tell you this, I agree with you, but here's the quandary, here's the conundrum. Carrie, if there were such a word, here's the quandrum. Mm-hmm. There's no such word, but if there were, that's
what
it would
be. That'd be a good word, yeah.
How does somebody who goes to vote, who says yes to Ducey, that guy has the same sort of value system I have, he's a Republican, he's a conservative, he's a right-leaning guy, but I'm going to vote for Sinema. Because the election results suggest that either a couple of hundred people didn't vote for Senate at all, which doesn't make sense, they just left it blank, or they actually skipped across the aisle and voted for the opposite party. How does that make sense? Help me understand.
You know what? I've asked myself that same question when I was sitting there looking at the votes and how Ducey got so many votes and McSally didn't get that many votes. So that I don't have an answer for that, because I sit there and I'm asking myself the same question. I'm like, I don't get it.
Let me just interject this, because I think it's a pertinent question. Is anybody in the local media in Tucson, television, radio, anybody, is anybody going out and asking that very simple question to voters? I mean, there has to be a massive number of people who decided, I'm going to vote for Sinema, even though I'm voting for Ducey. That legitimately has to happen, or else you can't have the same result we have.
Exactly. That's why I think, as far as Pima County, and statistically, I think it's always going to always lean towards the left as a whole, because you can check that. It's mostly always blue. And Maricopa County is usually where, you know, obviously Phoenix and everything is, and that they're mostly always red. So as far as how the tallies go, I don't know. The thing that crossed my mind, I'm like, well, are we having a Florida repeat?
Well, it's an interesting question, because, you see McSally did concede. She's not fighting it, so she must believe that it's real. I just wonder, I appreciate you, Matt, thank you. I just wonder if anybody out there in the media, and those of you in Tucson are hearing me right now, I wonder if anybody in the media out there has decided, in any part of Arizona, to go out with a microphone and a camera and ask people, did you vote for Ducey and not for McSally? And see if you find anybody. And if you do, ask them why. Because I went and voted. I voted for Greg Abbott. He's a great conservative governor in Texas. I voted for Ted Cruz because Abbott and Cruz are aligned value-wise on conservatism. I can't even for a second imagine I would have voted for Greg Abbott, the governor, and for Robert Francis O'Rourke. It doesn't make any sense. It legitimately would be backward, because they're 180 degrees on the polar opposites. And McSally and Sinema are not that similar to where you can say, well, Sinema kind of is like Ducey, and here's why. It really doesn't make sense. Let me go back at it and say hello and welcome to line one. Is going to be Rudy in San Antonio. Rudy, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going, Joe?
Living the dream, Rudy. What's happening?
Yes. Hey, well, I read an article earlier today, or actually I heard on a podcast. There's an article, Five Reasons Sinema Won, and it had mentioned that she made herself accessible. She got out there and shook hands, and she answered questions, and, you know, and that counts a lot for people. And that goes back to what I was telling you a couple weeks ago when we were talking about social media. You know, I had mentioned not to depend on it. And that's what she did. She got out there, made herself present and, you know, accessible, and you know, painted a picture that, hey, you know, I'm here for you.
But that doesn't change anything when it comes to values, though. That legitimately makes no sense. I mean, I understand it. And I appreciate you, Rudy. I understand why people would fall for it. They fell for it with Obama as well. Obama was legitimately saying things that were anti-American, but people voted for him because he made them feel good and pretended like he was accessible and just a regular guy. He wasn't. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Love to hear from you. Stay right here.
Don't be an A-dub. Stay with the Joe Pags Show.
All right, great to have you. Great radio stations all over. JoePags.com for Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email. The live video feed is there. Do you ever think to yourself, I wonder what that Kerry Lockie looks like? Here's how you find out. Here's how you find out. You go there. But look at that. She's on right now. You know what I'm saying?
Hello, people.
Chocolate boys.
That's right. Chocolate. That's me. Very silky. Chocolatey. Silky. I like that.
So that's what we do. Very good. It's the Joe Pags Show. Do me a favor. Wait, while you're at joepags.com, looking at the lovely and talented polo. I mean, Kerry. What? Wow. Why can't I see Apollo's lovely and talented?
You can,
why,
absolutely.
Why are you a lovely and talented-ist?
But I'm lovely and talented, too. Like Apollo.
When did I say you weren't? Why are you pretending like I said that you weren't?
Well,
Sam,
you did
as well.
It,
lovely
you didn't
and talented.
Say it. You didn't say it about
me.
Me?
Just beefcake.
Yeah, I saw your
video,
seen
the video
today. I did.
Come on.
I liked it. I'm
did you like it? I did not
you.
See that you liked
yes,
it. That was interesting.
I did.
You normally don't support
I
me.
I did. I'm supporting you. Yes.
For those who don't know, and if you're new to the program, let me clue you in on something. I'm an ironhead. I go and I lift weights. I've been doing it for a long time. I pick up heavy things and put them down. I don't do CrossFit. Nowhere near fit enough to do that. I don't jump around like an idiot. Not that you guys are idiots if you do that. I'm just not good
you
at jumping around like a dork.
No yoga.
I don't spin class. I don't do that. Mm-hmm. I lift up heavy things and I put them down to the point to where I hurt myself and complain that I hurt myself. Mm-hmm. But I'm not a small guy, and I'm always pushing myself in the gym to get stronger and do better. And I did post the video. See, what was it? 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I posted the video of me failing at doing the 120s. I'm going to claim one rep yesterday on the 120s. Although it will get better as I try again next month or whatever. But yeah, I lift heavy weights, and this time I'm bench pressing 120 pounds in each hand. So it's dumbbells, 240 pounds of dumbbells. But people are like, oh, why don't you bench press blah blah doo on the bench? Because it's different when you use dumbbells. It activates different muscles. It actually focuses on the chest. You can't cheat any of that. When it comes to when people, they ever done this to like your husband? Mario's a pretty big guy. Hey, how much do you bench? You ever hear that?
Yeah. I've heard that.
We generally speaking don't know the answer. I mean, I know that I push myself in the exercises as hard as I can, but actual bench press, I can probably do 10 reps with 315. Might even be able to pop a 405. You never know. Mm-hmm. And I'm old.
Grandpa.
But I got good advice from a great friend not long ago who said,
what'd I say?
Nobody really wants to see you pose. Like I'll go there and I'll make a muscle or I'll flex this or flex that. That's cheesy. That's like beyond cheese. The advice was, why not actually do the workout and show them what you're working on? Mm. Why not do the workout and maybe give advice to people who are the same age? So I do try to inspire, but I don't do it because I want your approval. I do it because I'm proud that I keep on striving and driving. And my favorite responses are, okay, I'm about your age, and if you can do it, I'm going to go try it. Now, don't try to lift the weights that I lift. Because I'm that guy. Kerry, you'd agree. I'm that guy,
you
right?
You are that guy. Oh, yeah. And then some.
So don't try to do what I'm doing. You're going to break your face and you're going to get
don't
mad at me.
Yourself.
Don't. Go.
Yeah.
Listen, if you can do it with a 20, forget the 120s. If you can do it with a 20, do it. Go and do it. But there is a video posted right now. I put it on the Instagram and accidentally put it on the Facebook. It was an accident.
Accidentally?
Mm-hmm. I pressed the wrong button.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You're not buying that?
No, heck no.
Come on,
nobody
man.
Is. Mm-mm.
But you can go and check it out. Generally speaking, if you're listen, even the men were pretty nice on this one.
Wow.
To be honest with you.
There you go.
Yeah.
Put people on a good
but,
day.
Yes. But some of them keep saying, why? And then there's one idiot. Oh, why don't you work out your chicken legs? I don't have chicken legs. My legs are actually the best part. So, no, I'm not going to wear a pair of shorts so a couple of guys on Facebook can see my legs. You know what I mean? I feel comfortable in my sweats.
Yeah.
I got to put tight shorts on to make him feel better about himself?
No.
Because let me be as clear as I can, guys. If I wore tight shorts at the gym and actually showed what my legs look like, you would be embarrassed. You'd never leave your house again. So don't even.
Well, you showed them.
Is that
keep
much?
Your sweatpants on, please.
Was that over the top?
Yeah,
well,
a little bit.
Yes. I mean, if I took them off today, there wouldn't be a whole lot left.
Okay.
But what I'm saying is there is a gym video there. You can go to Instagram.com/JoeTalkShow. Just look me up, Joe Talk Show. I did accidentally put it on Facebook as well, Facebook.com/JoeTalkShow. And listen, whatever your comments are, fine. I actually have a friend of mine, Sean, who asked, so dumbbells, why dumbbells and not barbell? I mean, I like having that kind of discussion. What does your diet look like? I like having that kind of discussion. But if you're just going to be a hater, you know, get off your ass and go lift a weight. Go walk around the block. Do something, fat ass.
Yeah.
Can I call people fat ass or not?
Probably not. Not a good
idea. But if they're attacking me attempting to get into shape.
Well, then, yeah.
And they're just a fat ass sitting on their computer attacking me.
Then you can.
Can I call them fat butt or not?
I would. Yeah. Go ahead.
So you're saying yes?
Yes. If they're attacking you, yes. Go after them.
Just to let you know, I told the people they could see what you look like if they log on. 50 people logged on immediately.
Sure,
see what you bring to the show? See what you bring? It's not a fluke. It's what you bring. Yeah. So go there, go check it out. Again, it's Joe Talk Show on all the social media. Joe Talk Show on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, and you'll see the video on Instagram and on Facebook. Let me go to the phone lines. We're talking about McSally. Did she reject the conservative media? Many people have gone on Twitter and have said she was on Hannity quite a lot. But again, it's been reported to me that she never went on Mark Levin's show. I know that we requested her on this show and she didn't come on. And I think that that's to her detriment. I think she should have done every show that had any reach whatsoever. You know, go and find the top 25 talk shows in the country that get a really good signal into Arizona and go be on that show. And even if she didn't do my show, if she would have at least done Mark's show, he's got a huge audience, then at least that would have made sense. But if what Rudy said makes sense, and it does, that she made herself of the people and made herself accessible and made herself like a neighbor, and McSally was more standoffish and maybe was more of a McCain Republican, it kind of makes sense why McSally lost. Now there are some speculating that she didn't mind losing and conceding because she feels confident she'll be appointed in January. And at this point, I don't know if I want her appointed if she made bad mistakes like that. Let me go back to the phone lines and see where you guys are on this. It's going to be line four. It's Dave in Minnesota. Dave, what's going on?
Oh, hi, Joe.
Hey.
First-time caller, 70-year-old conservative.
Cool.
In the embarrassing state of Minnesota.
Yeah, no, it was embarrassing. Let me just say this. Election day was embarrassing for you guys, without a doubt. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Anyway, so, you know, the previous caller, I think he was so spot on. She did not expose herself enough. And I glued myself to the television, Fox, that night. You know, Hannity, the whole bunch of them. I've seen this Samina, or whatever her name is.
Cinema.
She's passing out donuts to the kids at college and doing this and doing that. And the other gal, the fighter pilot, she didn't show a lot of heart. Now, that surprised me. She's got it in her, but she just seemed not to show a lot of heart. She just kind of lagged along, and it's horrible. It's horrible to see this woman that got elected. She's a fruitcake. And it's embarrassing for the people of Arizona. It's as bad as Minnesota.
No, we can go that far. That's not as bad as you guys. That's not as bad as you guys making Keith Ellis senior attorney general. Let's be real.
Yeah.
I appreciate you, Dave. Thank you. It's an open line now at 888-941-PAGS. I think Dave just wanted to feel better about what Minnesota did. I'm here to tell you, you're going to have a hard time topping Keith Ellison as the top law enforcement officer of your state. And also Ilhan Omar, who hates Israel, believes in female genital mutilation. That person's going to represent a district from the state of Minnesota in the House of Congress, in the House of Representatives. So I don't know. I'm just going to say it. I think Arizona did a little better than you guys did. Let me go back at it and say hello to line three. It's going to be Eric in Tucson. Eric, what's up?
Hey, I'm going to pretty much mirror what the other caller, a couple callers ago, said from Tucson.
Okay.
I don't know anybody that voted Ducey and Sinema. I sure hell didn't. And then as far as McSally making herself accessible and stuff, even when she was a congresswoman.
Go ahead and listen.
And constantly people like...
Yeah, you're losing your phone, Eric. I appreciate you, brother, but your phone's breaking up. I thought he was taking a big, long breath, Kerry. Turns out his phone
just... So did I. Yeah.
Sucky cell phone.
Not great.
You've got a sucky cell phone.
Sorry.
Why'd you make a face? Why did that annoy you?
That's a little rude.
Let me go back at it. Let's go back to Tucson. Going to be Tim. Hi, Tim. What's going on?
Hey, how's it going, Joe?
Living a dream, man. Talk to me.
I just wanted to comment on why I think Ducey got so many more votes than McSally.
Please clear it up, because my little brain hurts trying to figure it out.
So Governor Ducey was running against a total admitted whack job anti-ICE socialist liberal.
Okay.
And Kyrsten Sinema was at least pretending to be a moderate. So I think it was really the independents in Arizona that gave her that one, unfortunately.
Yeah, but I mean, we have videos that showed up from just, you know, less than 10 years ago where she's calling you guys names. She's just completely out of whack and off board. She shows herself not to be a moderate. Did people not see these videos?
You know, I mean, you would think people would be smarter than that, but that's just kind of what I mean, it seems like nobody believes either side of any of the attack ads, so, I don't know. She's coming out.
Do you know anybody? Do you know anybody who voted for Ducey and Sinema?
Personally, I don't, because I tend to stick with more conservative people and talk politics with them.
Right.
But, I mean, that's just kind of what I was thinking, because David Garcia, I mean, that guy was just a complete whack job, and not that Sinema is too far behind in my book, but
right.
She was trying to create this image that she was a moderate, so I kind of think that's what did it for her, plus the fact that McSally's kind of a, you know, blah candidate for...
No, I hear you. I would love to hear from somebody in Arizona who'll tell... Thank you, Tim. I appreciate you. I'd love to hear from somebody in Arizona who says, yep, voted for Ducey and voted for Sinema. Here's why. I don't think it's asking much. I'd love to hear from that person because I would love to pick their brain. What is it on the issues that you think they agree on? Was it just because they made you feel a certain way? I got to tell you, man, I don't know that 100 years ago people were voting because of how they felt. I think they were voting on the issues. Could be wrong, but I think they were voting on the issues. Today, it appears to me that the vast majority of those who are voting on the left for so-called democratic socialism or for leftist progressivism, they're just voting that way because people make them feel good. And it can make you feel good in an election, but their agenda is going to make you feel bad once they put it in place. That's the problem. It's 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. We're coming right back. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Great to have you. It is the Joe Pags Show. 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. Bottom of the next hour will be Dinesh D'Souza, movie maker, movie producer, author, lecturer, educator, all-around smart dude, right here on the Joe Pags Show. Make sure you stick around. Yeah, just to let you know, here's a word to the wise. If I tweet something, it's not necessarily about you. Just let that sink in a second. If I tweet something, it's not necessarily about you. You know what I'm saying, Carrie?
Mm-hmm. What did you tweet?
I think you do.
I think I do, yeah.
I tweeted, just so you know, if you're using a fake name, fake profile, and a fake or non-existent picture on Twitter, you're not to be taken seriously. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Because the trolls will only attack you from some fake BS like that.
Yeah.
And there are a few people who... Well, that's my dog who died from cancer. I'm not talking about your doggy picture. You appear to have a real name, and you can put a picture of your dog up if you want. And in fact, you can have a fake name and a fake picture if you want. I'm here to tell you that it carries way more weight with me if you're a real person with a real name, with real guts, to actually stand behind what you believe. What if you're in an industry where you'll be barred or banned if you show that you're a conservative? Well, grow a set.
Yeah,
show you're conservative.
Response.
Well, you thought my response wasn't good. Grow a set. Yeah. I think that same. I think that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because the left can not only can the left say and do anything they want. They can have their name on it. They can be verified, and they can attack all they want. But conservatives are afraid. You're afraid to take a stance because you might be fired or out of your industry. Well, take your industry on. How are you going to affect change in that industry if nobody's willing to stand up to them? So stand up to them. Stop being a wuss. It is 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Definitely want to hear from you. I haven't really, I mean, I guess I'm getting a little bit of insight into why it might have been Sinema over McSally, because what, she tricked the people? Because people just want to feel good? People just want to, you know who does, I can't imagine this guy makes anybody feel good, this Avenatti idiot.
Mm-hmm.
He's back in the news again. I guess he's alleging something against Tucker Carlson now.
Yeah,
and
I saw
I've
that.
Actually looked at the video, and I've read the stories. I don't get it. I don't think he has what he thinks he has. But does Michael Avenatti really live life? Does he go through life thinking to himself, "Man, I am loved. People see me coming; they love me. They don't think I'm a sleazy lawyer. They think that I'm just awesome." And they can't wait to hear from me some more. In fact, I might be the next president. Does Avenatti really live that life?
I would hope not.
It's not really going on in his head, is it?
I don't know.
888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, joepags.com. Got to tell you about Superbeats. Superbeats, just a teaspoon in the morning, is going to get you up and going. I'm talking about real, natural, healthy energy, because it helps you to improve your natural production of nitric oxide. Nitric oxide is a miracle molecule your body makes. It fuels your cardiovascular health, keeping you vibrant. As we all age, our bodies need some help generating more natural nitric oxide. If you don't, your circulation slows down, your blood flow isn't where it should be, you've got energy that you used to have is now gone, you just want to go take a nap. Well, don't. Get Superbeats by Human. They've harnessed the power of nutrient-enriched beets. They created a superfood that helps your body make more nitric oxide on its own. So get yourself some of this right now. You can get a great deal, too, because you listen to my program. It's 800-516-8389 or go to joelovesbeets.com. Find out how you can get a free 30-day supply of Superbeets plus free shipping with your first purchase. Get Superbeats now, 800-516-8389 or joelovesbeats.com, joelovesbeats.com. Back at it. Let me say hello and welcome to the phone lines. It's going to be John, who is in Tucson. John, what's up?
Hey, yes, Joe. I have two ideas of the reason why McSally lost. First off, he vacated the seat to give to the Democrats in the House, because I think she could have won that seat back. And second of all, she's always been in line with McCain. And McCain was not, I don't think McCain would have gotten reelected if he would have even still lived.
I disagree with you. McCain kept on getting reelected for decades, and he would have been reelected again. For some reason, there was some love affair there. His politics were not what I thought Arizona's politics were, but I didn't hear the first part. I don't know if you're muffling into your phone. Put your face in the phone. What was the first part? They wanted to give the House seat to a Democrat?
Well, she gave the House seat to the Democrat because she vacated that seat to run.
Yeah, but she can't give it to the Democrat. The Democrat had to be either appointed or had to win.
Well, they won, but I think McSally could have won that seat back. And, you know.
How would McSally have won the seat back if a Democrat took the seat? Obviously, they wanted a Democrat, no?
Well, in this election, she opted to go and run for the Senate seat instead of the House seat.
John, I hear what you're saying. I appreciate you. I hear what you're saying, but McSally not running for the seat again doesn't mean it automatically goes to a Democrat. And if she runs again, if she would have won, she's a Republican. Why didn't a Republican replace her? So I guess I'm confused by that. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show. The Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 888-941-PAGS. And now, it's Joe Pags.
You darn Skippy, great radio stations across the land, joepags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email. It's all right there, the Joe Pags Show. Also Newsmax TV, coming your way on a Tuesday.
It's Taco Tuesday.
Yes, it is. Oh yeah, Dinesh D'Souza at the bottom of the hour, by the way. Great author, movie maker, much more. That is Carrie Lockie. Carrie, what up?
Hello.
Get it done.
Mm-hmm.
Taco.
A lot of people on the line from Arizona. They want to be heard about this election. I'm like, we can do that. Okay. My question was actually very simple. Who would vote for Sinema and Ducey? I got a couple of people who say they did that. like the hot sauce. Not before the good part.
So what'd they say about cinnamon, Ducey? What's going on with that, really? What's going on with that Arizona thing? It's going like
not
crazy.
Funny. I just played again on Friday when you're taking another day off. You can try to talk over it, but I have control of the music.
Yeah.
I'll just rewind to that part again. I'll just play it on a loop.
I hate it.
Come on.
Taco.
Come on, Polo, bring it.
Taco.
Exactly right. All right, there you go. It's a Taco Tuesday on the Joe Pags Show. I prefer mine soft. Did anybody on staff like the hard tacos? No, right?
Crispy tacos are okay.
But if you had to pick one.
I would say soft.
Polo?
Soft.
Sam?
Soft.
You know, here's the thing. I like the taste of a nice, you know, corn taco, a nice hard taco. The problem is it falls apart every time.
Yeah,
has anybody ever made a taco out of that sort of hard shell that does not fall apart when you bite into it?
I don't think so. Not yet. They should.
I'm going to work on inventing that.
Yes.
Be able to buy Hermit cheese. Island.
That would be awesome.
That takes away the crispiness, though, right? You're not going to get the crunch anymore, are you?
Well, I mean.
Are you serious? Like, you take the actual corn taco, the exterior, and put a piece of cheese around it and melt it or something?
Well, I mean, they have those cheese things that I told you about before that you can make
it. Oh, no, I use those. Like cheese wraps, absolutely. But I don't know that you would put it around a taco, would you?
You could, or you could put it on the inside so that way, in case if it does fall apart, you still have that to catch everything.
You might be onto something.
There you go. You're welcome.
We might have to try that. Mm-hmm. But I do prefer the soft tacos. Now, I haven't had a taco in a very long time. See, what happens is I'm going to have a cheat day. Like, I had a couple of pieces of pizza on Sunday. But if I'm going to have a cheat day, it's going to be 12 tacos at least.
Oh, you go all in, don't you?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Mm.
It's not a taco, but there are these like egg-type crepe things that you can use as tacos.
That's not a taco, Polo. Come on.
It doesn't matter.
Seriously, I have to teach you about what a taco is?
No, I'm just saying you can
an
put
egg
all
thing
the good
is not
stuff.
A taco.
I understand that.
An egg crepe?
If you're trying to stay away from carbs, I'm telling you that's the way to go.
I am. I stay away from carbs.
Okay, well, that's what I'm saying. You can use that and put whatever.
So what is it, like a round piece of egg that you put the stuff in and then you wrap it up or what?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm down.
Yeah, no, they're good.
We can make that happen. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
It is 888-9. See, like what I'll do sometimes on the weekend when I do go, when I want to have like a nacho thing, you know, I'll do some nachos. But if I don't want to do the carbs, I'll put it on the pork rinds.
There you go.
Chicharrones. Mm-hmm. Chicharrones. So I'll put it right on there, and then that's awesome. But if you leave it on there too long, they get soft, and then they fall apart. I'm telling you, I'm going to do like a half an hour cooking show on the weekend. Here's what you can do on your cheat day.
I should try the nachos with the pork rinds. Now that's interesting.
Yeah, you got to dip. You can't just cover it like that, because if you do it, it's just going
to
get too soggy.
No, but I like to melt the cheddar cheese on top. You have to put it on top.
Yeah, but if you have the nacho cheese separate.
Ew, no, I don't like nachos.
Like
I don't
the queso,
like
if you have
like,
the queso,
no,
you can dip
I don't like
it.
Queso. Boom. No, I like the cheddar cheese. Yeah. That's the show for today, folks. You guys have a great one. All right, so we've got a lot of people on hold from Arizona where they've got some great tacos, too. And I asked the very simple question. Who is it that voted for Ducey, the governor, the Republican, but also voted for Sinema? I've actually got a couple of people on the line right now who say they did exactly that. Bottom of this hour, it's going to be Dinesh D'Souza, movie maker, author, educator, lecturer, great guy, friend of mine. His movie, Death of a Nation, is available on DVD. It's available for digital download. It's available at Redbox. It's available on Amazon. It's everywhere now. Walmart, I think. Go there and get this. It's a great education. It's a great movie. I think if more people saw this movie before the recent election, we would not have the debacle we have right now. So let me go to the phone lines. Let me say hello and welcome to Steve, who is in Arizona. He's in Tucson. He claims he knows why some people voted for Sinema and also voted for Ducey. Steve, what's going on?
Hey, Joe, first off, I'd like to say, if you started a cooking show, I would definitely listen to that, too.
Listen, I'm here to tell you, it might even be video. You see me with an apron on, the whole deal, man.
There you go. All right, well, I'm a 36-year-old veteran. When McSally was announced as a candidate, I was on board. I was like, wow, female, fighter pilot, veteran, combat vet.
Yeah.
Awesome, conservative. Well, at the end of the race, I feel like she didn't really give us her platform. I mean, she announced that she was aligned with Trump. She had really negative campaign ads towards the end. Yeah, I believe that Sinema put on a show towards the end, you know, trying to pretend to be moderate. But I'll tell you what, Tucson's a weird town. Pima County is weird. We got veterans. We got the university. I mean, it's just a weird crowd overall. But I think a lot of people do vote with their emotions, their guts. But I think a lot of people were turned off by the negative campaign ads. I mean,
the negative campaign ad showed that she was putting on a false front. They showed that she was lying about being this moderate because she's not. I mean, if you don't do it in the campaign ads, then how do you get that message out?
I agree with you, but at the same time, you got to offset that by actually showing some substance. And I don't believe Martha McSally showed that at the end of the day. I don't think she's the right candidate. I hope that when John Kyle steps aside, I hope that it's not McSally that takes over. I hope they find somebody else that's a better candidate that can run against or run in that next election.
Well, many people in Arizona feel because McSally conceded so fast, she probably knows that she'll be appointed. You don't feel that way?
I think she will. I mean, she had, over 1 million votes. I mean, there's a good portion of the population here in Arizona that wants to see her. And rightfully so. But, I mean, at the end of the day, she couldn't hold off Sinema. So can she hold that seat again in 2 years?
I don't know. It's a great question. I appreciate you, Steve. Good insight. Open line now at 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. To Daniel in Tucson. Daniel, you actually did the dastardly deed. You actually voted for Ducey and you voted for Sinema. Fill me in.
Yes, I did, Joe. I did that mainly I voted for Ducey because I liked his record during his last term, and I figured, you know what, keep him in.
Right.
He's doing a good job. No point in voting him out.
Okay.
I had a hard time deciding to vote for Sinema, and I ended up voting for her, and I was undecided up until about the day before the election.
Okay.
The negative campaign ads and all that, I tried to throw all that aside because I'm not all about that. What I ended up doing is I went through both of their voting records in the United States Congress.
Okay.
And I spent 6 hours going through every single bill that they voted on. And honestly, I felt that Sinema was more willing to reach across the aisle, more willing to work. And I think that's the biggest problem in Congress right now and our country in general is we're too polarized.
Well, I got to tell you, what you're saying for me as a voter doesn't make sense. I want there to be fighting in Congress. That's why we have different parties. And reaching across the aisle is okay if you're reaching across the aisle to make sure that you're doing something that value-wise and agenda-wise I want done. When you say that you support what the governor did, the governor's a Republican, I'm guessing that he did more conservative things. You actually rejected a person who would have aligned herself with the governor more, and you accepted somebody who, by record, she reached across the aisle. By record, if she had her own druthers, she would be against what the governor generally stands for. So I guess that I can't put two and two together and get four. I'm not saying that you did anything wrong. I'm just really trying to figure out and pick your brain as to what that means. I don't want somebody to go to Congress and get along. I want somebody to go to Congress and fight for my values. Does that make sense?
That absolutely does make sense. I mean, I do want somebody to go in there and be strong, but at the same point, I am more of an independent myself, so I tend to fall right in the center. I kind of agree a little bit on some liberal issues, and I agree a lot more on some conservative issues,
right,
mainly with immigration and, you know, some health care issues and stuff like that.
Okay.
And, you know, yeah, Sinema did not check off all the boxes that I want. Wasn't the best pick. I mean, even if Donald Trump was having an election today with Hillary Clinton, I probably still would have voted for Donald Trump and voted for Sinema.
That's interesting as hell because Donald Trump and Sinema do not get along politically. I mean, politically, they're actually on polar opposites. So it sounds like you're actually voting. Your vote is actually a check and balance of things, I would guess. Whereas my vote is I want people who are like-minded with me to represent me. And represent my family and my community and my neighborhood, my friends. You know what I mean?
I absolutely do. It's not so much check and balance. I just try and weigh each individual issue. Some are more important than others. And just that's what I go off of. And I had a really hard time deciding. And that's why I went and spent 8 hours going through the voting records.
Earlier you said 6. Don't be a Democrat. Don't start lying about how many hours it was.
All right. Well, we can make it 4 then.
All right. Sounds good. Hey, listen, I appreciate the insight. You and I will not agree on that's how you should vote because I think that you voted for a governor who is going to disagree almost on everything with your senator. and you voted for a senator that's going to disagree almost on everything with you, with your governor, you like the governor, you like his record, yet you voted against somebody who might have done something similar in Congress. So I'll ask you this as a general question. I'm not going to take every call can't be from Arizona. I love you guys, but I want to get some other people in as well. As a general question, do you want to vote for people who are going to get along in Congress? You want to vote for people who are going to extend their arms across the aisle and everybody's going to compromise and they're going to sing kumbaya and rainbows, you know, coming out of their eyeballs? Or do you want people who are going to fight? I want fighters. I want somebody who's going to go there and fight and say, this is what I believe about the immigration. This is what I believe about health care. This is what I believe about abortion. This is what I believe about capital punishment. This is what I believe about the economy. And I'm going to stick to my guns. I'm not going to bend over backwards and kiss ass across the aisle so we can have a martini at lunch. I'm going to fight with you when we're in these chambers. That's why people sent me here. I guess it's a different perspective. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
To have you, welcome to the program. Thanks. The Joe Pags Show, 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, joepags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, it's all right there. If you're on the social media, just put in Joe Talk Show, and that's my handle on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, so make sure that you stop by there. I had one guy write me, Carrie, that I'm not a Christian because I talk about my physique.
All right. That's a first.
I just want people to know. He's calling out my Christianity heathen. Because Christians don't talk about lifting weights and having physiques. So, okay. Yes, if you're interested, we've got many more viewers and listeners starting this hour. So if you're interested in seeing or hearing me grunt and seeing me try to throw 120-pound dumbbells around, it is a video over on Instagram. It's also on my Facebook page. You can stop by. You can criticize. You can ask questions. We can talk about it. There are a lot of people in my age. I'm 52, and I'm still lifting heavier than most men do, period, because I've been lifting for a long time. Not that I'm special, but I've worked really hard at it. But there are still goals that I want to reach. I'm not going to slow down. I'm not going to stop until my body says I have to stop. But there are people my age who don't think you can do it. I'll never forget. Probably 20, 23 years ago, my dad went to the gym with me, and he said, well, at some point, you get big enough, don't you? And by the way, at my age, and he was, 20 years ago, he would have been like my age. He said, after over 50, you can't gain muscle. And I said, well, where'd you hear that? And he said, it's well known. You know, my father was a lot like me, but he didn't have the evidence. Like, I'm argumentative, but I have the evidence to back it up.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, well, and you know me, because I was like, well, Dad, just tell me who told you. Well, the guy George on the job was saying it. Well, the guy George on the job doesn't know squat. What are you talking about? So yeah, I think that there's a misconception that you can't get into a certain kind of body type or in a certain kind of shape at a certain age. I, for one, don't like cardio, so I don't do it. I manage my diet. And I like to lift heavy things, grunt, make noises, and put heavy things down. So if you're interested in seeing that, go check it out. If you're interested in criticizing me for it, I'm big enough and man enough to take your criticism. And if you have any questions and you want to try to do it for yourself, we can talk about that as well. Meantime, we've got a phone bank filled with people from Arizona. And Carrie, the reason why, and by the way, Arizona, I think in about a month, the station's going to change formats. I think it's been announced, or maybe it hasn't been announced, but either way, there's been a sale, and I think a Christian broadcaster, you know, bless them, is going to do something different, and they don't generally run a show like mine. So you might want to talk to the other stations in the market about the opportunities there. We love being on there, by the way. But people in Arizona, to me, crazily, but I love hearing your reasons, 200,000 more of them voted for a Republican governor than they did a Republican senator. That doesn't make sense to me, and I'm trying to figure out why. Kerry, did the last guy give us a reason? Look, I love that he did it. I love that he told me, and I'm not mad at him.
Mm-hmm.
But did that make sense to you? Well, I did it because she likes to reach across the aisle?
Well, not for me. That maybe not why I would want to vote for somebody, because they get along with...
Am I too hard line that I want people
to... get them, you know,
yeah.
Everybody gets along and everybody's happy.
Well, stand firm on what you believe, no?
Yeah. I want somebody who's going to fight for what I believe in. Not necessarily, you know, the congressman or congresswoman sitting next to him.
I don't want them to say I got a deal done, and the deal does not include what you want. But look how I reached across the aisle.
Yeah, I don't know if that works for me or not. I don't think it
does. I want you to get the deal done because it's what I wanted you to do.
Right.
So I think that's the difference between my perspective and the call. But I appreciate that he did that. I've got somebody else on the line, I think, that did the same thing. It's going to be Brett in Tucson. Brett, fill me in. Talk to me.
Hey, Joe. I just wanted to talk about the governor's race versus the Senate race. The governor's race, the Democrat that ran was much more towards the left, whereas Sinema ran more moderate campaign. I'm a little bit more left-leaning myself, so I think Sinema fell right where I was at on the spectrum. And this Democrat guy that was running in Arizona, I just couldn't vote for him because he was way out there.
Well, what was it about what he was saying that didn't align with you? Because, again, if you were aligned with Sinema, then you're not aligned with Ducey. But you took Ducey because you thought he was more moderate?
No. I like Ducey. He's been, you know, I've been in Arizona my whole life.
Right.
So the, you know, from what he's done is more of an area. I like what he's done as a governor, and I think actions are what he's done as an action wise as a governor.
Well, I understand that. I don't want to argue. We just don't have a ton of time. Let me just throw this out, because what you have is a governor that you like. You like the actions that he's taken. You're a lifelong Arizonan. You feel good about him. And you had a senator or a potential senator in McSally who agrees with him on almost everything, yet you voted for Sinema. So I'm confused.
So I think Sinema aligns more with me, whereas McSally, I felt like she was just more of always vote with Trump, and she would just vote for him no matter what it was.
I want to explore it further, though. So if Sinema aligns with you, I can accept that, and I believe you. Then Ducey doesn't. You know what I'm saying? So either Ducey and McSally agree on almost everything. Ducey and Sinema disagree on almost everything. You voted for Ducey and Sinema. So I'm still not hearing why it was. And if she made you feel good, tell me. If you really think that she's going to align with Ducey, which she won't, tell me. Because so far, I mean, all right, so you were afraid McSally was going to agree with Trump? Trump actually supported Ward.
Right. So it was more that I hated the Democratic candidate on the governor's side than I aligned with Ducey. Does that make sense?
It does, and I can understand that. But on the issues, you probably, because of what you're telling me, must be more aligned with the Democrat candidate, even though you didn't like him.
That would probably be true in terms of issues.
Okay. Well, listen, I appreciate your honesty. Brett, I really do. I'm not giving you a hard time. It's a different way of looking at it. So what I'm hearing as I let him go was that he voted for Ducey because he likes him and he thinks he's done pretty well. And he voted for Sinema because McSally was going to agree with Trump on everything. And he aligns himself politically with Sinema, which means he doesn't align himself with the Republican governor, but he did not like the Democrat governor candidate, even though he probably aligns with him more. I don't know. I end that phone call thinking to myself, he voted for who made him feel better and for who he, like, personality-wise, liked the best. That's kind of an interesting place to be in America if that's who we're voting for now. But it's nothing new. We've been doing that for a long time. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Dinesh D'Souza, when we come back, right here. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Great radio stations across the land, joepags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, all of that and more, plus Newsmax TV. It's the Joe Pags Show. Really glad to have you here and really glad to have back my friend. He's an incredible movie maker. He's an incredible author. He's a lecturer. He's an educator. It's Dinesh D'Souza. Dinesh, how are you?
Hey, Joe. It's great to be on the show as always.
Yeah, it's an absolute pleasure to have you back, my man. Death of a Nation, it's out on DVD now, right? You could also download it.
Yeah, it's in digital streaming. The physical DVD is on Redbox and, of course, in Walmart and everywhere. So, and, of course, there's an accompanying book of the same title that's out there as well.
Have you ever heard anything about some shenanigans going on? I had a guy contact me that he went to the Redbox, got the movie, put it back, and I guess the next day or 2 days later, it just wasn't available anymore. Anything going on like that you know of?
We have some of those glitches, but I don't think there's anything conspiratorial about it. Okay. Amazon actually ran out briefly, but that's only because we had a run on the DVDs. You know, more people, Joe, are watching at home. They prefer to watch in the home theater rather than go to the theater. So the DVD kind of digital streaming market is going up. And it's good. It's perfectly fine. But so far, we don't know of any systematic problems.
If you had to give me a sentence, and again, it's Dinesh D'Souza. Get his movie, Death of a Nation. What is it? Deathofanationmovie.com. People can find out where to go and get it.
Yes, it is. They can watch the trailer there and find out more about the movie.
It's an amazing movie, an amazing accompanying book as well. If you had to give me a sentence or two on what happened on Election Day, what would you say?
I would say the election was a kind of hard-fought draw. And what I mean by that is that the Republicans took a beating in the House. Will probably be 15, 20 seats down by the time it's all counted.
Right.
But we probably will gain 3 to 4 seats in the Senate. And that creates a secure Senate majority, which wasn't there before. So I think if you ask Republicans, hey, would you trade a narrow loss of the House to having a secure Senate where future Supreme Court appointments, at least over the next 2 years, should be kind of a smooth sailing, that might be a trade that a lot of Republicans would be willing to make.
Are you like me, though, Dinesh? Are you a little bit skeptical when you see in Arizona the governor, who's a Republican, wins by 200,000 votes, the Senate Republican loses by 12 or 30,000 or something like that? I'm the kind of voter that says I'm going to vote for people that are like me when it comes to values. I'm a conservative. So if I'm going to vote for that conservative governor, I would also vote for the conservative senator. Does that make sense to you that Sinema had somehow beats out McSally, yet the governor wins by a couple of 100,000?
It seems puzzling, and it certainly demands closer attention. Now, there is a possibility that this did happen, and I think that if it did happen, it would have happened something like this. John McCain divided the Republican Party between the sort of the forces of McCain and the forces of Trump. A lot of ill will was sowed over that conflict, and it could be that one side or the other took it out on the other. So McSally was actually from, you may say, the GOP establishment wing of the party. In fact, as you know, Trump had endorsed Kelly Ward.
Yeah.
But Trump got behind McSally. Sometimes this kind of backwash remains, and it's possible that the Republicans in Maricopa County were splintered and somehow Sinema pulled it off. Again, I think it's fishy enough that it demands closer investigation, but it is a possibility.
Well, Sinema at one point called Arizonans meth addicts or something. I mean, I don't understand how anybody votes for a person like that. It's Dinesh D'Souza. Get his movie, Death of a Nation. It's an amazing educational experience. And the way you shot it just blows the mind. You see historical places then, and then you standing in the exact same place today. Wonderful filmmaking, my man. Let me ask you about Florida. This quote is, it's a paraphrase, but it's in context. Stalin said something to the effect of, it doesn't matter who votes for whom or who you vote for. What matters is who's counting the votes. That seems to be what's happening with this Brenda Snipes in Broward County. Here's a woman that a judge said, yes, you broke election law by destroying ballots after 2016. She somehow gets to oversee this election. And Dinesh, we can't, as journalists, ask her a simple question like, just how many ballots are there to count? Not how many Republicans, not how many independents, not how many Democrats, just how many? And her answer is, we don't know yet. How is that possible a week later now?
Well, this is a case where I think Florida and Arizona are different, because in Florida, there is flat out prima facie indications that there's a funny business going on.
Yeah.
Marco Rubio actually has been all over it and has been very fair-minded about it. He's not against counting the vote, and he's not against counting legitimate ballots. But the Democratic chant, count every vote, is suspiciously designed to exclude every valid vote, every legal vote, every right. legitimate vote. And if we have evidence of illegals voting, dead people voting, ineligible voters voting, or of ballots being faked, I mean, those votes should absolutely be thrown out. So I know there's a lot of legalized peering in the process. As now, my guess is it's harder to cheat now than it would have been. But the very fact that we're even talking about this shows that we've got to be really careful going into 2020 that this kind of nonsense does not occur.
Well, we know that from both the Gillum campaign and the Nelson campaign, at least one person in each campaign has said we should count even those votes that we can't verify. I mean, is that a traditional fascist tactic? Is that something that you would have seen in the 1920s, 30s, 40s overseas?
Well, it actually shows how the creeping lawlessness of the Democratic Party as an institution. Now, we know that they gangsterized the party when Obama and Hillary were running the show.
Right.
But this idea of now advocating for porous borders, which is a violation of immigration law, the idea of looking the other way when it comes to voting ID laws. The problem is that if you have a person voting illegitimately, they're canceling out your vote or my vote. So
right.
It's actually an attack on democracy itself. And to see a major party that's looking the other way and winking at this and the media that's complicit in it, there's a kind of reluctance to even investigate the story on the part of the press. This shows that we don't actually have a genuinely independent and inquisitive press.
It's Dinesh D'Souza, a great movie maker, movie producer. He's an author. He's a lecturer. Get Death of a Nation on whatever format you prefer. It's available via book, via download, via DVD. You got to go and check this out. Let's talk about the actual election results, though, Dinesh, which I've been waiting to talk to you about this because over 4 million Floridians voted for a socialist who is under investigation for corruption in Florida. Almost 4 million people in my state, where you are too, voted for Robert Francis, the Irishman O'Rourke, which stuns me. The guy wants open borders. The guy said we stole half of Mexico recently. The guy wants to abolish ICE. We had people vote for Stacey Abrams, who has no history other than she's a socialist and happens to be a black female. We've got Ocasio-Cortez, who won, who's going to Congress. How did we get here that so many people are blinded by the, I guess, excitement and the glow of socialism when all we have to do is look at Debbie's, you know, home country of Venezuela and see how disgusting it is?
Yes, we do. But notice how Venezuela, although the New York Times for a while there did some pretty good coverage in depth on Venezuela, by and large, the media doesn't touch it. They don't like to say, hey, listen, let's examine Venezuela as a sort of laboratory of socialism. Does it work? Does it not work? In a genuinely independent press, we would see all this, but we don't. So I attribute what's going on to two factors. One is the fact that the press is all in for the Democrats, and they will literally cover up the crimes of the Democratic Party. They're giving a terribly one-sided picture of events. So they're not enemies of the people. They're enemies of the truth, and they're enemies of objectivity and critical thinking. The other factor, of course, I think, is just oceans of money. I mean, look, Ted Cruz had $20 million. Beto had $80 million.
Crazy. That's nuts.
That difference, which is $60 million, that buys you an awful lot of propaganda that goes way beyond yard signs.
And a better candidate would have won, though. I mean, he was a horrible candidate. Look, let's be honest. The Hispanic Bobby Kennedy, it just didn't work. I mean, the guy in the debates looked like a fool and you know, yells the F word whenever he can. And the announcement that he's going to run and is in his concession speech, he's just not the guy. If they had more of an Obama, they would have beaten Ted Cruz easily, and Ted Cruz is the right guy. Are you wary at all that in the next election, they now see as a test subject, okay, this Beto thing almost worked. Let's get a better candidate, and let's take this thing home. I mean, we're just that close, aren't we?
Yeah. Now, of course, the strongest candidate against Ted Cruz would have been a centrist Democrat, but those birds are now very rare in the Democratic Party. So I think their formula is going to be, see, the key to Obama was that Obama was a leftist, exactly like Beto, but he was able to camouflage. He didn't have a background, whereas Beto kind of bungled his way into saying, oh, yeah, of course, I want open borders. I want to shut down ICE. I want to do this. I want to do that. So Beto played his hand before the election,
right,
whereas Obama played his hand after the election.
No, that's such a great point. Obama just said, hope and change. Yes, we can. Si se puede. And one for all and all for one. And then once he took office, he had a pen and a cell phone and did anything he wanted to do. It's Dinesh D'Souza. Get the movie, get the book, get Death of a Nation. It's an amazing educational experience. I've had so many people tell me, this is an amazing piece of work that everybody has to go and see. And I really do believe that if more people see it, we'll start to wake them up from this democratic socialism slumber, whatever democratic socialism is. But we were so close in so many of these races to actually, I mean, even with Hillary Clinton, we were so close. Let me bring her up for a second, Dinesh. What are your thoughts? Because your movie, Hillary's America, the Secret History of the Democratic Party, this really opened a lot of people's eyes. But just yesterday, her former advisors said, yeah, she's going to try a third time. What do you think of that when you hear that?
Well, I think it's laughable, and I think actually she would be an easy opponent for Trump. But here's the point. The reason in the Hillary movie, 70% of that movie is not even about Hillary. It's about the Democratic Party, because the Democrats are trying to engineer it in such a way. Now, look how they have it with the African-American community. They have it such that if they appoint any Democrat, it doesn't matter if he's white or black, doesn't matter male or female, doesn't matter convicted felon or crook, they want African-Americans to check the D box no matter what.
Right.
And what that means is ultimately it is the Democratic Party itself, its philosophy, its history that's up for grabs. That's why I focus so much of my work, our work, focuses on fake history and fake narratives, because at the end of the day, American politics is fought in teams, and it's one party against the other party, and it's not just about Hillary or even about Obama.
What do you make of the alleged 40% approval rating from African Americans for Donald Trump, yet so many black folks in this last election voted Democrat again?
Well, remember, Trump was not on the ticket, and it appears to be usually when changes occur of this magnitude, they start at the top and it moves slowly. Okay. Even when you think about the way the South moved into the Republican Party, initially it was only at the presidential level, but plenty of senators and congressmen remained Democrats, and that changed 10 years later. So it was a 20-year process. And I think similarly, if African Americans are going to come back, I would say come home to the Republican Party, it's probably going to take a couple of decades, but Trump may be the wedge to start that process.
Last question. It's Dinesh D'Souza, Death of a Nation. Get it in all formats. It's an amazing educational experience. And we can talk about your event in the Valley if you'd like as well. But last question about the election and going forward. Nancy Pelosi's made it clear. Ocasio-Cortez has made it clear. All the Democrats you can find are making it clear that they're going to ask for the president's tax returns, and they're going to impeach him, and it's going to be investigation after investigation. Do you think that's going to work against them in 2 years, Dinesh? Do you think people of America are going to say, this isn't what we elected? We elected just for a balance in Washington. We didn't want a bunch of red tape and paperwork. They haven't accomplished anything. Could that work against them, or don't they care?
Well, I think it will work against them. I also think that this is playing into Trump's strength. Trump is the world's greatest political mud wrestler. And so getting into the mud with him is not a good idea. I think the Democrats should interpret their victory in the House as that the American people wanted some sort of a policy check on Trump. They don't trust Trump entirely. They think he's a little bit of a wild man, and they think that someone needs to keep an eye on him. But this does not mean an attempt to sort of undo the 2016 election and find some pretext to push him out of there. So the Democrats might be misreading the tea leaves, and that will cost them 2 years from now.
That's very interesting. All right. Tell me what's happening in the Valley. I know that you and Debbie are heading there.
Well, we're heading into Blue Texas, and it's Debbie's home ground, Harlingen, the Rio Grande Valley. We want to present a conservative message. We have almost 1,000 people signed up. It's going to be a great event on Saturday. And there might still be some room, but you got to sign up through Eventbrite. So look it up. And if you want to come, you may have to come early and stand in line.
Is there a link at the website, DineshDeSouza.com, or do they look for it elsewhere?
Yeah, just search for it. It's being organized by some local groups in Harlingen. Okay. So if you just Google D'Souza and Harlingen, it'll pop up.
We'll make that happen. Dinesh D'Souza, Death of a Nation. Make sure you go and get that. Dinesh, thanks a million. Really appreciate you.
My pleasure.
Back after this in the Joe Pag Show. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pag Show.
To have you, it's the Joe Pag Show. 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. Glad to have you along for the ride. Lots going on, lots to get to. Would love to hear from you. Carrie, they're doing something as far as votes in Texas now, huh? Because James O'Keefe from Project Veritas uncovered something.
Mm-hmm.
So
apparently
we'll talk about that in a second. If you can, get that ready for me. In the meantime, let me tell you about Blink. Blink is a great home security system. It's an HD camera system, really, and they're motion-sensored cameras, which means any motion in front of them. Had some high winds earlier, so had some branches floating around. I got an indication on my phone that there was something going on, and it sends a crystal-clear HD video, great audio as well, right to my phone. I could check it out if I want to take action. Let's say it's a bad guy. I'm going to get an instant notification. I contact 911 or contact the authorities, or if I'm in the house, I go and do something about it. And it's before something bad happens, or you want to make sure the kids got home from school, or you want to find out, you know, what's going on with the dog. It's all right there. Blink is just that simple, and it's right to your device. It's easy to set up. It's wireless. It's HD, no contracts, no obligations, no subscriptions. Get your Blink cameras right now. Get the system starting at less than $100. It's that simple to go to blinkprotect.com/pags. 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 Do it now. All right, Carrie, what do you have out of Texas?
From the Statesman, the Texas Attorney General's office will be looking into alleged illegal voting in Travis County after conservative group Project Veritas published a video that purports to show Travis County poll workers saying that non-citizens could vote. Governor Greg Abbott on Tuesday called for an investigation. I can't verify if this is accurate. Abbott wrote in a tweet, I can verify it will be investigated. And if it is accurate, illegal votes will be tossed out and wrongdoers will be prosecuted. In the video posted by the group Tuesday, a woman off camera asks two Travis County poll workers in a variety of ways whether her boyfriend, whom she says is part of the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, may vote. The woman in the Project Veritas video tells both poll workers that her boyfriend, who is not shown on the video, is a registered voter. Non-citizens are not eligible to vote. The video shows poll workers telling the woman that anyone who is registered can vote, and they advise the woman to have her boyfriend present his identification to vote. One poll worker seems to be skeptical of the woman's story, saying the boyfriend's reticence to enter the polling place could indicate the boyfriend was not registered. In an exchange that has been quoted several times on Twitter, the woman says her boyfriend worried there might be an issue with DACA people voting. A poll worker identified as Pam Nash responds, no, you tell them no. We got a lot of them. We got tons of them during early voting. Jeff Mateer, Texas's first assistant attorney general, so the office is looking into the very serious questions raised. Although we need more information to determine whether illegal immigrants were allowed to vote in Travis County during this election, there can be no doubt that non-citizen voting does occur, Mateer said. My office has been working hard to address non-citizen voting since long before this video came out, and we will continue to fight for election integrity.
Just so that anybody who's confused knows, those who are on the DACA program are still illegal aliens in this country. It's Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, which means they're deferring the deportation. They're deferring the adjudication. They're allowed, they're not going to be picked up and arrested and hassled. They're given like a two-year leeway, sort of a chance to breathe and get their affairs in order and apply to stay here or do something about their status. But they're not here legally. They're still illegal aliens. So no, they're not allowed to vote. They're not citizens. It's an executive order that just tells law enforcement, don't enforce the law for a couple of years. So no, they can't vote. I've got an email into to the governor's office and a call as well. We'll try to get them on to talk about this. Got to run for this hour. Another big hour coming your way, including Mike Rowe and his mother Peggy on the Joe Pags Show. See you tomorrow on TV.
This is the Joe Pags Show. The Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 888-941-PAGS. And now, it's Joe Pags.
All right, great radio stations across the land. JoePags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, all right there. The Joe Pags Show. Glad to have you along for the ride on a Tuesday. Swinging it. Exactly right. Crazy, crazy track. That's Kerry Lockie, by the way. Kerry, what up?
Hello.
Crazy.
Uh-huh.
Hey, but that's how it goes. Millions of people living as foes.
Bop, bop. Bottom of this hour, and the bottom means 30. For those who don't know, radio lingo, broadcast lingo, top means at zero, like 12 o'clock high, 8 o'clock high, 7 o'clock. The bottom means the 30. All right? You know what I'm saying, Carrie? Are you
I
up
do.
To date now what those things mean?
I do know what those things mean. Have for a while.
Not so sure. I wasn't sure earlier because you didn't seem to understand what I meant. But
yeah.
That's great. I'm glad that you know. So Mike Rowe and his mother, Peggy, will be on the program at the bottom of this hour. It was so much fun hanging out with them today for a little while. They are as cute as can be. They remind me of my mother and me because we go at it a little bit. We're sarcastic and we're fun and we're loving and all that. It's really cool. She's got a brand new book, Peggy does, called About My Mother. And I think that a lot of people assumed, even I thought, that it was Mike writing about his mother. It's not. It's Peggy writing about her mother, Mike's grandmother. And what's funny is that he's not in the book much, and they sort of made a big joke about that. But do you follow him at all on social media?
I don't. Maybe I should.
It's funny because his mother will write him a text or write him a letter or write him a note or give him a call. And he just out of the blue decided he was going to start talking about these correspondences between he and mom on his podcast, on his video cast over on Facebook. And it took off like a rocket. People went nuts for it. They absolutely loved it. They loved it.
Nice.
So they decided it's a regular thing now. Where letters from mom or notes from mom or something, where she, and again, it could be any form. It could be a text, could be a letter, could be an email, could be anything. And he relays it on his program, like from his house in his bathrobe, and it's awesome.
Cool.
And now his mother has written a book. Now his mother's written a book. You got to go check it out. You, without a doubt, have to look into that. Bottom of this hour, it will be Peggy and Mike Rowe. Get her book, AboutMyMotherBook.com. AboutMyMotherBook.com. I want to go off the beaten path here a little bit. You know that I work out over at the gym with Jill Mills. Jill Mills was the world's strongest woman back in like 10 years ago, maybe a little bit longer than that now. And I believe she'd won it 2 years in a row. And to look at her and see her work out, you'd think she's still the world's strongest woman. And I'm not, I for one will not tell her that she's not because I think she must be. But I work out with her. She's the gym owner where I go, and she's extremely cool, could not be nicer. Comes up to me the other day and says, you know, so I've got a child over in this local elementary school in the San Antonio area. I'm like, okay. You know, we all live in the San Antonio, Texas area. If you're not familiar with it, that's where Carrie is, or Polo is, or Sam is, where I am. And we love being on these stations around the country. She says, and the child was playing with one of these little Green Army men. You know the little Green Army men, right?
Oh, absolutely. My kids had those.
And it just, I was like, oh, yeah, those are cool. Yeah, absolutely. The child was told you can't play with that. Those are banned here.
Really? Plastic, like, little green plastic army men.
Yes. Now, when I was little, and this was a long time ago, so it's not easy for me to remember, and I definitely want to hear, if you're on the line to talk about elections and stuff, I'm done. I love you guys. I'm moving on from elections and stuff. I will definitely take calls on this, though, Sam. When I was little, you know, you'd watch a TV show and the police drama would sort of be there was a good guy and a bad guy, and my friends and I would argue about who was going to be the good guy, and we'd have our finger, we'd go, pew, pew, you know, with your fingers, and you, the finger would be the gun, and, and you might even put on a suit jacket that you might wear on Sundays because you were the detective or something, and you had this great imagination. You played cops and robbers, you played cowboys and Indians, you played good guy, bad guy, and you played army guys, you played G.I. Joe. You played little green army men.
Yeah.
Right. So little green army men are a positive thing.
Yes.
Because one would assume that you're being the good guys and you're going and killing the Nazis or the bad guys, whoever they happen to be. That's, and it's just, Carrie, I've seen a lot of these little army guys.
Mm-hmm. As have I.
I have never yet seen one that actually shoots bullets.
I have not either.
You have they you don't. Didn't get the realistic model, did you? Where the army guy's carrying an M6 or something with him?
No.
And could kill like ants and other bugs with their little guns?
No. There's no such thing.
So this
thing.
Is all going to be, you need your imagination to do this.
Yeah, you do.
See, I've got five girls. I don't have any boys. You have two boys. Did your boys play army guys?
Yeah, we had a ton of those around the house when they were little. All over.
Obviously, politically correct.
Wow.
In your house.
Crazy. You can't play with
so Jill, army men. Being the very, you know, open, raw, honest person she is, goes down. I'm going to go down and talk to somebody.
All right, good.
We were having the conversation at the gym. I said, I would definitely like to know what happens when you go and talk to somebody about this. And she goes down because maybe the child misunderstood. You know what I mean?
Okay, that's a possibility.
Maybe the child heard it wrong. And let me just go down, and she's actually messaging me on Facebook now. Now, she's like, what time? I'm like, now. I'm like, I'm doing it now.
Turn your radio
on. What are you doing? Right. So she's already missed most of it. So she goes down and asks the question, is it true that somebody has banned Little Green Army men? And the school vice president actually said they are banned.
Wow.
Now, we have generations of Americans that grew up without violent video games, that grew up without the violent, I mean, the violence in movies today is, it would freak people in the 1940s out. They would not even understand what we're watching. We didn't have any of that. So many generations didn't have any of that. We had Little Green Army men. And we did okay. We did fine. There wasn't overwhelming gun violence in America because of Little Green Army men. And if you think there's overwhelming violence in America because of Little Green Army men, listen, you have every right to the opinion. You have the American ability to have free thought, and your freedom and liberty should not be trampled on. I want you prosecuted or persecuted. I just don't want your ass teaching kids. I don't want you teaching kids. If you think keeping Little Green Army men away from them will somehow quell violence in America, there's something wrong with you. I was glad that Jill told me about it. I was unhappy when I heard about it. It bothers me to think that I somehow, some days I go through life and I really do, I take for granted that nobody is that stupid. You know, we did that story out of North Carolina with a little five-year-old girl, Kayla, picked up the stick.
Remember that. Mm-hmm.
And was guarding the king and queen of the class. They were a little five-year-old. She was like, I'm your guard, and this is my gun. And she got suspended from school for having an alleged weapon. It was a stick. And then I did that stupid parody, stick is not a gun. And then we had the case where the kid bit a Pop-Tart into the shape of Florida, and some teacher thought that it was the shape of a gun. He got suspended for biting a Pop-Tart into something that had the form of a gun. Then some other kid got in trouble because he went pew, pew, pow, pow with his fingers and his thumb. He got suspended for being violent. And some other kid drew a picture of a gun. Now, a picture of a gun can't shoot anybody, can't hurt anybody, is not violent. A Pop-Tart can't shoot anybody, can't hurt anybody, is not violent. A stick can't shoot anybody, can't harm. I guess you could harm somebody with a stick, but this is a short little stick, looked like a handgun. You need to throw it at them. These things cannot harm people. Real guns in the hands of bad guys and bad gals can. But the idea that we must make children believe the imagery of a gun is an overwhelming negative and a bad thing and must be banned from society is an idea that should not be held by anybody educating anybody. The overwhelming indoctrination starting at an elementary school level and even preschool is sickening. It is sick. Little Green Army men, let me say it again. For anybody of you who happen to be educators out there, let me make this as clear as I can. Little Green Army men are representative of our armed forces, and our armed forces are not a negative. In fact, they comprise a huge positive for us. They're the reason the Constitution is still in place 200-some-odd years later. They're the reason why freedoms and liberties are protected, because they sign their name on the dotted line and go protect it. And if our kids want to imagine that they're Little Green Army men that are representing our armed forces, and they want to go kill the bad guys and go pow, pow, boom, boom, pew, pew, they can. Stop being an idiot. Your thoughts, 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, joepags.com. I want to know how you would react had you gotten that same message from your child from school. Keep it here.
You're listening to Joe Pags.
All right, great to have you. It is the Joe Pags Show, 888-941-PAGS. JOEPAGS.com, JoePags.com. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, all right there. If you want to see me grunting in the gym and complaining and whining. Oh, by the way, Jill is the same one who said that I can't even count one of those reps from that lifting yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Well, she's probably right. She would know.
Can't count any. I'm sorry, she's right.
She would know, don't you think?
She's right about a lot. But let me tell you something. All right, so maybe next month is going to be even better. This way there won't be any question about it.
There you go. Keep trying.
I'm taking at least one of those reps. All right, so again, sends the child to school. Child says, I can't play with the Army guys. Just to make sure that the child didn't get it wrong, Jill goes down and talks to the vice president of HRAS or whatever it is. I don't know. What are you a vice president of at an elementary school?
Vice president, maybe vice principal or assistant principal?
I don't know. Is that what it was?
President.
I don't know.
Okay. Let me see.
Let's see. Well, she says VP, so I guess she does mean vice principal.
Okay.
I assume VP would mean vice president. Vice dork is what it is. It should be something other than VP. It's vice doofus because, again, if you think little green army men, if you think they're the problem in our society, you're a problem in society. And, again, you're allowed to be an ass wagon. You're allowed to be stupid. You just shouldn't be educating people. It is inherently your American right to be stupid and have dumb opinions. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It is inherently your American right. But don't be anywhere near a school.
Don't be teaching my kid.
Little green army men that represent our armed forces that are always a positive thing, that protect our life, our liberty, our freedoms, our liberties, our happiness. You're going to make that a negative to our little kids growing up? You need to get out of education. Get out of academia. This is a great argument for school choice. This is a great argument for private or homeschooling. This is a great argument for we can't trust the people that are being put in charge of our children's education. Let me go to the phone lines and see if you agree or maybe you disagree. Let's see here. Let me say hello and welcome to line one's going to be Bill in Yakima. Bill, what's going on?
Hey, Joe. How are you tonight?
Living a dream, man. Talk to me. What do you think about all this?
I think it's ridiculous. I was telling Sam that, you know, the little girl holding the stick, the kid, somebody drew a gun, somebody made a gun noise. The only one that I slightly disagree with is I am concerned about the one kid waving around the Pop-Tart gun because, I mean, waving that thing around, you could, you know, piece of pastry crust in your eye, you know.
You could take an eye out with that Pop-Tart. Okay, I hear you. I hear you, Bill.
Have a good evening.
All right, brother. I mean, that's how dumb it is.
I know.
You know, I'm not making that up. A kid bit a Pop Tart into what looked like a gun. And he got suspended.
Yeah.
From a Pop Tart.
Yes.
When that Pop Tart shoots somebody, then talk to me. The little green army men are fun. It gives children an imagination, and it also allows for them to realize good versus evil. Our little green guys with guns go and get the bad guys. What are you stupid? Not you, Carrie. Of course, the VP of her face or whatever it was. Gotcha. Let me go back at it. Say hi to line two. Going to be Rick in Boston. Rick, talk to me.
Yeah, Joe. Hey, you know, growing up in the 50s and 60s, I don't know what some of these people today, they'd be in awe, you know, if they grew up and I grew up. I mean, you know, Christmas time, Roy Rogers, you get a set of guns, you know, an air rifle, Daniel Boone, you know, you get one of his knives or something. And, you know, there were never any murders, never any assaults in the schools, anything like that. You know, the only people shooting guns back then were the mobsters.
You know? I could not agree with you more. And if we played, you know, cops and robbers, I was the good guy going after the mobsters. But for some reason, that's going to make our kids violent and out of hand. Let me ask you this, Rick. Do you think they think that this is actually going to benefit us in the future? Or is this just about making guns the evil, the bad?
I think they look at it as guns are evil for some reason.
I think they're stupid. Are you with me? I think they're just dumb.
I can remember at the Y at 10 or 11 years old, they had a course, your parents had a sign, but you learned how to shoot a .22 rifle.
Right. You would think that a country with a Second Amendment would think that was okay to teach somebody how to respect and properly handle a gun.
Yeah, and you could go in and buy a gun at you know, 21, and there were never any issues, you know. People used them mainly back then for hunting, you know.
I hear you. Rick, I appreciate you. You're right. And again, this is a great argument for school of choice, school competition, charter schools, private schools, homeschooling. The public education system in this country is out of hand. Now listen, because I'm always at, look, Carrie's husband is an educator. I love teachers. I think that you guys are doing, I think that you're unsung heroes, and I think that you're doing a thankless job in many cases. And I think that parents usually can work better with teachers to make for a better educated, more productive person. The problem is the actual establishment for which you work. They're out of hand now. Now they've jumped the shark. You can't play with a little green army man? Really? You can't play a little green army man? I think the next caller makes an incredible point. Tim is in Arkansas. Tim, talk to me.
Well, okay, so the Little Green Army men are now banned. Are we going to ban the student who has a parent who is in the military who wants to come to that school and pick that child up that just got off, full service duty? They're coming in their uniform. He can't come in. He's a big Green Army man.
You're absolutely a. Let me tell you something. When I saw you were going to talk about this, I got to applaud you. That's a perfect point. I have oftentimes gone into my kid's school for career day. I'm a radio talk show host. This is what I do. You could do this for a career house. This is how I did it. And there was a policeman there. There was a fireman there. There was an army soldier there, whether man, woman, or child. Look, the bottom line is you now are saying, I can't have a representation of one of our armed forces. What are you going to literally say to somebody who has done the job, who carries guns for a living, who actually fights for freedom and liberty? You're gonna ban that person? And I, you know what my fear is, to be honest with you, Tim? I think they might. I think some of these idiots would like to.
Well, they're going to ban police, but here's the whole thing, Joe. What it is it's something that was said a long time ago by another famous radio talk show host. It's called Symbolism Over Substance. Oh, we'll just ban everything that even might even hint at a gun. Look how great we're doing. We're not teaching. We're just trying to hide everything. We don't teach truth. We don't teach reality.
Yeah.
We just want to stiff our head in the sand. And we don't really want, and I've done it, we really don't want to do our job. We just want to make it easy by banning everything.
Tim, I hear you, and I appreciate you. And I think it was a great, great point, incredible call. So what do you do? Because I want to see some sort of fact. Carrie, can you find me? Because you probably have it right there on the Google or on your news machine, whatever the news machine is.
Yep.
It's a magical news machine.
Yes.
Find me the story that shows that as society makes ridiculous, dumb, ass-wagon decisions like this, we become a less violent society. Can you show me that?
I can look, but I doubt I'm going to find something.
Yeah, because, I mean, obviously, if you ban Little Green Army men, there are no more violent crimes. Bad people just disappear. Evil ceases to exist. No more bank robberies, no more rapes, no more murders, no more pillaging. All of that goes away if you ban the Little Green Army guys.
No. Can't find your story like that.
That so-called educator should be out of a job and should go work in the private sector somewhere where she can act like an idiot. That's all I'm saying. Jill, I appreciate the tip, and I'm sorry that happened to you. Quick break here. When we come back, it'll be Peggy and Mike Rowe on her new book, About My Mother. Go to aboutmymotherthebook.com or aboutmymotherbook.com. Aboutmymotherbook.com. Keep it here.
Joe Pags.
Great radio stations across the land, JoePags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, all of that and more, plus Newsmax TV. It's the Joe Pags Show. Glad to have you along for the ride. Really glad to have Mike Rowe and his wonderful mother, Peggy. How are you guys?
Fantastic.
Hi, I'm fine.
Although it's actually Peggy Rowe and her B-list celebrity.
I brought my son along.
Oh, good. Well, Peggy, I'm glad that you were able to do that. I know that you were babysitting today, weren't really sure what to do otherwise. It's an amazing thing to talk to you both. Mike, as I mentioned beforehand, I'm a huge fan, have been for a long time. I vocally have been confused for you before, which is a huge compliment to me. But Peggy, I mean, we're certainly huge fans of yours. Before we even get going, I want people to understand that right before this, Mike turned to his mother and said, "Don't screw this up." And his mother said, "Likewise." So is that sort of the whole day, guys? I mean, is it you guys sort of, I mean, there's such an immense amount of love, obviously, and the fact that you share your mom with us is amazing, Mike. But is that sort of what it is, a little sarcasm, a little wink and a nod the whole day?
Yeah, I think so, since 8:30 this morning.
I was going to say since 56 years ago for me, personally. But, yeah, certainly for the day, it's just a blur. She's never done a media tour, so she's in an SUV, you know, you gotta roll out of the back, you jump in an elevator. sign in, you go up the elevator, you sit down, somebody slaps some makeup on you, and then you start talking about why you wrote a book. And honestly, you're getting better and better at it, I got to say.
Yeah, I think by the time my next book comes out, I'll have it.
You're going to be all set by then. It's Peggy Rowe and her young son, Mike. The name of the book is About My Mother. And there it is, for goodness sakes. And what's interesting is, Mike, I'm guessing, and you can verify this or tell me I'm an idiot, but I'm guessing you had no plan on making your mom a character, but quickly you found out that as much as people love watching your podcast and listening to what you have to say, they really love Peggy.
Oh, it's not even close. I mean, I've got 5 million fans on my Facebook page. My mom starts sending me texts as soon as texts exist. And once I realized how golden they were, I started posting them. And then she started sending me stories and I started reading them. And then publishers started calling and saying, hey, if you put all those things together into a book, we'll publish it. So what my mom did was she went and she wrote a book of 19 stories about her mother. I'm not in these stories.
You're into it.
I'm a bit character. So the publishers are like, that's not the book we wanted. We don't even know who your mother is. So I printed 10,000 of them, and they sold out in 2 weeks. And then the publishers got the book. I said, well, crap, man, you didn't tell us she could write. This is terrific. So we're doing this tour because Simon & Schuster printed 50,000 copies, and they're flying off the shelves, and go figure.
You know, you guys passed Woodward, right? I mean, on Amazon, for a day at least, you broke Amazon.
Buried him alive. Hope trumped fear.
That's excellent. It's Mike Rowe, and of course, his wonderful mother, Peggy. The name of the book is, again, About My Mother. He's holding it up. It's right there. And it's interesting because going in, you would assume that it's you writing the book, Mike, about Peggy. Peggy, what do we learn about your mom in this? And thank goodness, almost 10% of the stories are about Mike.
Almost. Your mother was a very unique character. She was a great mother. She was a tad bossy. She was always in charge. She knew how to make decisions. And we were very different. Although we both did have a passion. I had a passion for horses from the time I was born. And my mother, when I became a teenager, developed a passion for the Baltimore Orioles. She was a baseball fan. She was a crazy nuts baseball fan. She was the kind of fan you would see in the stands and you would scream, down in front, jumping up in the air and screaming. Yeah.
So she was into baseball, you were into horses, and you guys had to figure out a middle ground, or how did it work? Now, growing up, I've got 5 daughters, so growing up, I knew that I wanted to be a parent, but I also saw the great things my parents did and said, I want to make sure I include those, and I saw the sketchy things that they did, and I said, I probably want to avoid those. Is that sort of what you saw? You were observing your mother, and you took those lessons with you when you became a mom? Or talk to me, because you sound like you were very different, but there was a great admiration, clearly.
There was. You know what? It didn't happen overnight, but I did learn to respect my mother, and she learned to appreciate my passion for horses, and she embraced it, and she helped me all she could. I tried to embrace her passion for baseball with her. I mean, but it was so embarrassing, but I went, and in the end, we did have a healthy mutual respect for each other.
The thing I love, Joe, is that my grandmother, Thelma, was first and foremost a parent to my mom. They became great friends later in life, but never did I see, and my grandparents lived 100 yards from us my entire life. My grandmother was always the mother. She was always in charge. And today I see, you know, so many parents work really hard to be friends with their kids. My grandmother didn't do that, at least from what I saw.
That's true. She did not. We were never buddies. We didn't go out together and have our nails done. We didn't have coffee clutches and gossip about the neighbors. That's just not the kind of person she was. She gave me advice whether I needed it or not, and I pretended to take it. But in the end, I really did respect her.
Well, are you two friends, though, conversely? Mike, you and Peggy, are you friends, or are you the traditional mom and son? Because, listen, what you do with your mom's letters, I've done to my mother. I've called her on the air and said, hey, Mom, how did you cook that meal? And then we just have great fun, and the listeners and the viewers love that. So I get why we immediately got in tune with Peggy, but what is the relationship? Is it more like her mom and her, or is it different?
I never cared for her.
Come on, man.
Oh, it's look, my mother is what on Star Trek, the Next Generation, they used to call an empath. My mother is fundamentally empathetic to all people, especially her children, you know. Mm-hmm. My grandmother was not. And so, you know, my mother's everybody's friend in that way. But as far as growing up, you know, she was always the one that was there to make sure we knew unconditionally that it was all going to be okay. Whatever it was all going to be okay. And, you know, that was the role. She and my dad must have figured this out. My dad played a very different role. My grandfather played a different role. And, of course, my grandmother played her role. And, you know, I don't have kids, so I don't know how you guys do it, how you sit down and kind of figure this out. But somehow or another, it either works or it doesn't. And I was very lucky, you know, because I have a friend now at age, and I still have a mother.
Answer the phone
because I got very busy, and friends don't always pick up the phone.
I think they do.
He's a little busy, Peggy. I don't know. I've seen him on a thing or two. It's, of course, Peggy Rowe and her little son, Mike. You may have heard of Mike. Mike, I'm wondering, all seriousness, when it comes to how empathetic, and by the way, the name of the book is About My Mother. Go and get it by Peggy Rowe, About My Mother. Mike, have you got a copy? There you go. So did you get your empathy, your understanding, your want, your desire to learn more about regular jobs and regular people and real life from Peggy, from your upbringing? Because most people, once they hit a certain level of success, and you're an extremely successful guy, kind of forget about the little guys.
Well, I never had a chance to forget about the little guy because my great good fortune came later in life. You know, I freelanced in our industry between the ages of 20 and 42. I didn't get a hit until I was 42 years old.
Wow.
And when I did, you know, Dirty Jobs, the success of that show was based entirely on regular people being allowed to be real in a totally authentic way. The show didn't have a set. We never rehearsed. We never did a second take. We went to towns you couldn't find on a map to highlight somebody you didn't know existed who was doing something that was both critical and anonymous. So to the extent that I've always appreciated that, yeah, I got it from my mom, but mostly I got it from her dad.
Wow.
Went to the seventh grade, dropped out, and became a master tradesman, a brilliant electrician who could build or fix anything. He was the inspiration for Dirty Jobs. In fact, it was my mom who called me back in 2002 when I was impersonating a reporter at CBS and said, hey, you know, your grandfather is 91 years old. It would be great before he died if he could turn the TV on and see you doing something that looked like work.
That's awesome. I love that. The name of the book is About My Mother. It's written by Peggy Rowe. This, of course, her son, Mike Rowe, that you're all familiar with. Peggy, I'm wondering, when you sent Mike these letters, when you sent him these notes, and he decided he would make it part of his thing, his shtick on, not even shtick, but his just real, you know, conversations with people like me on Facebook and elsewhere. Were you apprehensive? Were you like, Mike, stop it? Or did you see already that there was a benefit to it?
You know, I wasn't really sure he was going to share my letters. I write him letters because, as I said, and he didn't agree with me, he's not always available to talk. So sometimes I have something important to tell him, and if I can write it in an interesting way, I know he'll read it. So when I lost my purse at Walmart that day. Oh,
such a great story. Such an amazing story.
It was so traumatic. I just had to sit down and write Mike a letter. And he read it. And the rest is history. So that letter became so famous, well-known, I began writing mother letters, and he read those, and they are equally as popular. And then one day I wrote him a text. I just shared, I wanted to tell him something. I said, Mike, Your father's out walking and it's 93 degrees. I told him not to go. He wouldn't listen to me. So I said, at least take ID with you. So when you fall down on prostrate on the sidewalk and they take you to the hospital, they'll know who to call.
But Joe, she misspelled, and my mother doesn't make mistakes, but she misspelled the word prostrate and typed the word prostate.
I was talking it into my phone.
5 million Facebook fans are suddenly left with an image of my 85-year-old dad on the sidewalk with his prostate out.
Come on!
So suddenly, we're having a massive conversation with hundreds of thousands of people about the condition and the circumstances by which my dad managed to get his prostate outside of his body on a hot summer day. So it doesn't get weirder, but for a, you know, for a mom and a son to be able to sit down and kind of unpack that and maybe even slip some of it into a book, well, that's, as you said, a consummation devoutly.
It is called About My Mother, written by Peggy Rowe, and that's, of course, her son, Mike, who we love. Everything you do, Mike, and the way that you're giving back right now with your new series is amazing, my man. I love every second of it. I for a second, was trying to imagine a man, I'm a man, having a prostate, have his ID with it. It just, to me, it's just a place I didn't want to go, Peggy, but I love you so much that I'm glad we went there. You know, I blame it on voice to text, too, when I make mistakes. That's actually a pretty good one.
Yeah. Oh, it happens all the time. It was filled with errors, actually.
Go ahead.
And the next day, I got a text from Mike, and he said, check out all of the interest in your text. And sure enough, tens of thousands of people loved it. There were comments, hundreds of comments. And he said, you know, Mom, I think we're onto something. Send me the occasional text, the occasional letter. And when your book eventually comes out someday, people will know who you are. They will know that they like your style of writing.
Now I can't stop it. Every 5 minutes, ding, hey, it's another text.
I've got another story, Michael. It's About My Mother is the name of the book. Her name is Peggy Rowe. That, of course, is Mike Rowe. I can't thank you two enough. I could talk to you for the next several hours. I appreciate you. There's the book again, About My Mother. Go and get it. It is setting records. It's set the internet on fire, and we love you both. Thanks a million.
Thanks, Joe. We appreciate it.
Thank you. This was fun.
Absolutely. Back after this in the Joe Pag Show. Stay right here.
Joe Pags.
All right, great to have you. The Joe Pags Show, 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. But Carrie, every once in a while, you got to talk to Mike Rowe. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I like him. He seems so down to earth. Just such a regular guy. You know, I love
just a
that.
Regular dude. I hope that people were able to watch that as well as listen to it. And if you missed it, the live stream will play it over and over for the next 24 hours. Go and check it out at joepags.com. We did it via FaceTime. So when I spoke, you couldn't hear them. So I tried to just stop talking but they were reacting, they were laughing, they were, you know,
it's
he was
such a good
sitting back on the couch.
I love it.
Really a great relationship and really a lot of fun. It's like when you and I, if my mic cut out when you spoke or if your mic cut out when I spoke, it wouldn't be half as fun. So I think the people missed almost half of the conversation.
Mm.
They heard all the important stuff like aboutmymotherbook.com, aboutmymotherbook.com. And Mike asked me, please, I forgot to mention during the interview, please say the website again. So it's aboutmymotherbook.com. Make sure you go there. But unfortunately, because of FaceTime, just the way the audio was working on this particular one, you couldn't hear. They were laughing, you know, at a lot of the stuff they were saying. It was such good fun.
That's awesome.
But I just need to do a lot of that. I need to do more of that.
Yes, I agree. Yes. Sometimes I get bogged down on all the politics and.
Well, here's also tomorrow.
What?
We're going to have the guys from Gas Monkey Garage from Fast and Loud, the TV show. I'm a gearhead. Going to talk about cars. Going to talk about the auto show coming to San Antonio soon.
Okay.
So we'll do that tomorrow. We'll have like three of the guys from Gas Monkey on there, which will be great.
Cool.
And then also we've got Kevin Sorbo tomorrow.
Hey, I know who that is. All right.
Hercules.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have him on.
Okay, cool.
Go ahead.
A new movie coming out, maybe?
Well, I believe that this is probably... Sam, is this about the movie that we talked to Kevin Jackson about in Washington?
A little bit of that. A little bit of tweeting going on.
Some tweeting going on. Okay. It's going to be the Kevin Sorbo tweeting.
Mm, okay.
Carrie, who doesn't want to know about that?
That should be interesting. Looking forward to that.
And maybe, in the next time he's in town, maybe we'll go to the gym. He's Mr. Big Buff Guy, right?
I believe so, yes.
Wow, you're hesitant, like he wouldn't hang out with me at the gym.
Well,
you're saying that Kevin Sorbo wouldn't
not.
Hang out with me.
He may not want to.
Kevin Sorbo can be my friend. Don't be that person.
I don't know. Now, don't start getting all stalkish on me. No, don't do that to Kevin.
By the way, I've got to tell you about Super Beats. Super Beats is great as we age. Our bodies need more natural nitric oxide. We stop producing as much as we get older. So what happens is our blood flow slows down, our circulation slows down, our cardiovascular system isn't getting it done, and your blood pressure is not as in check as it was when you were younger. You lose energy as well as you get older because of the lack of nitric oxide. Super Beets in your drink in the morning, whether it's water or juice or a protein shake, will help you to start producing the right amounts of nitric oxide again. Okay, so get you some. I take it in the morning. You're going to feel that much better. We're talking about real, healthy, natural energy. 800-516-8389, 1-800-516-8389, or joelovesbeats.com. You can order some right now, find out about a free 30-day supply, and also free shipping with your first purchase. It is 800-516-8389 or joelovesbeats.com right now. Paulo, I'm gonna have to blow off pop culture. There's one reason why, because I've got Ruth on the line, and we haven't talked to Ruth in a very long time. Ruth, I've got no time at all, but I love you. Will you do me a favor and let us call you back tomorrow?
Okay, that sounds good.
This is our Ruth, is it not?
Yes, it is.
Well, you now have the new hotline number two, right?
No, she was going to give it to me afterwards.
Okay, I'm going to put you back on hold, and Sam is going to give it to you. Let's talk tomorrow, Ruth, because we miss you, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
All right, hold on. Didn't we miss Ruth?
Ruth, it's been such a long time.
We got to go. For Polo, for Carrie, for Sam, I'm Joe. See you tomorrow.
This is the Joe Pags Show.